the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of the Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Today we're going to talk about optimizing the patient experience by looking at ways to optimize the operational efficiency, and in this case, the operating room efficiency at hospitals by using machine learning tools. We're also going to talk about several other use cases for AI and ML in healthcare. And, you know, most of the time we spend on this show talking about marketing, customer experience, or maybe in the healthcare space, patient experience topics. And today we're going to focus a little bit more, as I said, on that operational efficiency part. And, you know, I think you're going to see this relationship between operational efficiency and the end customer or patient experience. So to help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Michael Burke, CEO, and Josh Bird, CMO at Copient Health. Michael and Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. We're happy to be here.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we love your show and the guests you've had on. So we're excited to talk to you today.
Absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to having this conversation. So why don't we get started with We'll talk about what Copient is in a minute here, but maybe each give a little background on yourselves first.
Sure. So I guess you'd call me a serial entrepreneur in healthcare. This is my third software startup in healthcare. Started back in the late 90s with my first company in informed consent. Sold that in 2011. Started another company in the urgent care business. Some of your listeners, if they've ever checked in remotely at an urgent care facility, might have used that second product, and sold that in 2017, and now working on a solution for the operating room to recapture operating room time that would otherwise go unused.
And for me, I've got about a 15-year history as a marketing leader, primarily in healthcare startups. I've done quite a few as well. I love how they impact both mission, but also business objectives. We see that most healthcare companies that or systems that run well, run it like a business. And so that's one of the reasons I loved joining on with Copient Health, because we're helping people run it like a business, which ultimately is better for consumers.
Great. Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit more just to kind of frame the discussion here. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about what Copient is and how it works. So, you know, in my work as a consultant and advisor, and certainly through this podcast, we've been talking a lot about AI and its various applications, you know, AI, machine learning, the different types of AI, and, you know, primarily to enable better marketing and customer experience outcomes. You know, I ran across Copient Health and, you know, related to some of my work in customer journey orchestration and optimizing both, you know, customer or in this case, patient journeys, as well as operational resources. You know, your platform seemed really interesting. So could you talk a little bit more about what it does, some of the problems it helps to solve for healthcare systems?
Sure. Well, the Copient Health solution solves a really big problem for hospitals and for ambulatory surgery centers. And it's based on the fact that the surgery accounts for the majority of a hospital's revenue and its operating margins. And it funds the rest of the mission of the rest of the hospital. So when an operating room sits idle, the cost is immense. It's roughly about $1,000 per hour, but that's just the hard cost. The opportunity cost of not putting a surgical case in that time is quite a bit larger. So it's not hyperbole to suggest that in the operating room, when the operating room suffers financially, the entire hospital suffers. So what we do in a nutshell is we use machine learning to find operating room time in advance that is likely to go unused. And then we get that time that's likely to go unused into the hands of surgeons who can use it. It's maybe you might think of it as an open table for the operating room.
Yeah. So, more generally, I guess, how can AI be used to improve clinical workflows in hospitals and healthcare systems? And, what specific applications have you either seen or maybe developed as part of Copiant that helped to achieve these goals?
Well, that's a wide open question.
Sure is.
And we'll talk a little bit about how healthcare is using AI right now, but the answer to this question a year ago would have been entirely different, prior to the advent of large language models and, tools like ChatGPT. But we'll try to talk about, what they're already doing. So first of all, I guess it's important to point out that analysts expect that healthcare may be the vertical that is most meaningfully impacted by artificial intelligence. And that's likely because healthcare is behind most other verticals in using technology for optimization. And, we've been hearing for a number of years about various successes in clinical applications of machine learning. And I probably should take a minute to for your audience. Your audience may be familiar with AI through use of ChatGPT, and that is a very different sort of artificial intelligence than machine learning. Machine learning is generally used to either predict something or to categorize something. And so healthcare, we've recently seen the leveraging of these large language models, the kind that powered ChatGPT specifically, to generate clinical notes in real time. Documentation is a huge problem for physicians. It's causing physician burnout. They're spending 2 or 3 hours, at the end of the day, seeing patients to do their documentation. And so to have an artificial intelligence solution that would come along and take the transcript of the conversation between the provider and the patient and generate, the relevant clinical documentation from that could go a long way towards reducing that burnout. So, we've only recently reached a point where we can direct these powerful large language models that have been trained on public data to look at a hospital's private data. And when we do this gives the hospital much more powerful analytics than they've ever seen before. Even if a hospital is a not-for-profit, with a patient-focused mission, they can still run like an efficient business to make sure that they can continue to financially support, the cost of patient care. This new ability to analyze data could bring a new level of business efficiency to healthcare. So I'm sort of skirting your original question. Let's get back into the specific areas. So decision support's is a huge area for healthcare providers. AI can analyze patient data and support the providers in making diagnoses and treatment planning and preventive care recommendations. You've also got a category called prescriptive analytics that can comb through reams of population health data to identify gaps in care, to identify patients who are at a higher risk than others, to look at drug adherence issues or any number of other opportunities to improve patient outcomes. And, a lot of the focus on AI use in healthcare is in patient outcomes, but just like other industries, process automation is huge. So AI can help streamline the repetitive tasks, the administrative tasks that all these hospitals have to do, like patient intake, billing, referrals, and, the one that's near and dear to our heart is patient scheduling. So AI can automate those processes, you know, very efficiently and effectively.
Yeah, I would just add to that the automation, while it sounds very almost cold and, you know, getting businesses their most efficient, I'd refer back to what Mike said earlier. It's really about supporting the mission of the hospital. And, you know, since some of your listeners are marketers, think about if you make it easier for a new surgeon that can bring in high value cases and high value patients to your facility, if you make it easier for them to get more OR time, then it's actually a marketing play in some ways to invite that surgeon into your system, give him or her more access to those ORs, and then they have an entire patient population that comes with that surgeon or multiple surgeons if you're allowed to attract and retain those surgeons. And then you're actually supporting that mission of helping more patients by getting more efficient. So oftentimes the efficiency sounds very cold, but it actually has a warm heart, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And yeah, you know, I think there's similarities to, let's say, the hotel industry or the airline. You know, or even just inventory in general, right? And I think when you layer on the mission of the hospital or healthcare system, I think to your point, there's a really good end result when more people get the care that they need and stuff. But I think operationally, it starts to feel like, you know, we've got hotel rooms that are only available for a day. And when that day is gone, you know, that inventory is gone. And, you know, that's a missed opportunity, not only from a revenue standpoint, but again, to your point, to help someone in, you know, get what they need when they need it. So I think those are important points, as well as just the broader definition of AI, as well as, you know, understanding that, yeah, AI is not, you know, for those of you that just woke up at the end of 2022, AI is not just generative or ChatGPT or things like that. Of course, you know, AI has been around for decades and there's lots of different applications of it. So kind of delineating between some of those different, whatever you want to call them, flavors of AI or uses of it, I think is good. And that kind of brings me to, you know, the next question. You know, you've written about the importance of what you call in context learning in AI applications for healthcare. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, how is Copian addressing this need? And you know, what are the advantages of doing so?
Sure. So in context learning is a new phenomenon, and it has only come about, you know, in the wake of these large language models like ChatGPT, you know, that are designed to, I mean, at their core, they answer questions by using, you know, kind of mathematical representations of the similarity of words, basically. And so in context learning is a new way of leveraging these publicly trained large language models like ChatGPT and you know, some other providers like Google and a few others, but to use them to interact directly with and to query directly your private data. So in this case, the private data of a hospital. So, you know, ChatGPT doesn't know anything about the private data of a hospital. And so this in-context learning is a way for us to use this powerful AI model that has been built, but to shine it onto the private data of the hospital. So, and this wasn't possible even 10 months ago. An entire ecosystem of tools to accomplish this has emerged really in the last 10 months. And it's rooted largely in the concept of, you may have heard of this before, it's called prompt engineering. It's actually, you know, you've got a lot of businesses that are now posting jobs for prompt engineering. Right. And so prompt engineering understands that these large language models are, or at least can be thought of as sort of text in, text out black boxes. So if my text in into this black box includes not only the question I want to have answered, but also specific directions to the large language model about how to respond and to give it examples of what good responses for other similar questions might have been, and give them the subset of private data that it needs to respond. If I put all of that into the prompt, into the text in, along with the original question to be asked, and then give it to the LLM does a great job generally of responding with very helpful answers. And if any of you are data wonks out there, this particular approach is far more effective than fine-tuning or retraining a brand new large language model. So for smaller data sets, this in-context learning design pattern, what we call it, is it actually performs better than those custom trained models.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, I would imagine, you know, we had someone a little while ago talking about, you know, HIPAA compliance from a marketing standpoint and things like that. So I'd imagine not only is it beneficial to use something like this, but also it's, you know, it's kind of required as far as like, you can't just submit, hey, you know, XYZ person has this health issue or whatever. You can't submit that to ChatGPT and stay within compliance. So this sounds like a good way to keep that not only private, but also, you know, it's interesting to hear that it's a more effective way than like training a large language model. So interesting.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head with HIPAA. You can never, I shouldn't say never, but, certainly the way laws are constructed right now, there's no way that you could put that private data into a publicly available model.
Yeah. I think that is, you know, something that healthcare systems are grappling with, but vendors like Copient and others really have the history of understanding, you know, implications of HIPAA, the importance of HIPAA, things like that. And so I think that, you know, if anybody's listening to this and wondering about how, and they happen to be in healthcare wondering how to do it, I think that's one place that expertise is still very much required to make sure you get it right, because it's, as one of my mentors says, you know, trust is gained in drops, but lost in buckets. And so you don't have an opportunity to make that kind of mistake.
If you're like me, it's hard to keep up with all the trends, fads, and critical concepts that marketing and CX leaders need to know about. To help, I've partnered with some of the world's most notable MarTech thought leaders to create the Agile Brand Guides book series. These are short reads, 3 hours or less, on important topics like generative AI, customer data platforms, MarTech infrastructure evaluation, and more. They're available in print, digital, and audio formats, and quickly get you up to speed on critical topics that leaders and aspiring leaders need to understand. Search for Agile Brand Guides on Amazon or go to the Agile Brand Guide website at www.agilebrandguide.com. That's agilebrandguide.com for more. Before we get back to the show, I just wanted to remind you to hit the follow or subscribe button on your app to make sure you get notified when new episodes of this show are available. Now let's get back to the show.
You also recently wrote that AI in healthcare is not a destination, but a journey. And, you know, to definitely agree with that sentiment, but, you know, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about, you know, what this means both for your company Copient and as well as the industry as a whole. And, you know, what are some of the takeaways or lessons from your experience so far with AI in healthcare?
Sure. Well, you know, it's been my observation and I hope that you might agree that our healthcare system is sort of rushing toward the point of unsustainability, at least from a financial perspective. I mean, you know, the costs of care just continue to go up, and in the wake of COVID, you know, hospitals now have massive personnel shortages that have driven the costs of staff up, you know, ridiculously. And you couple that with, you know, the inflation from the overall economy and hospitals, which, you know, typically had been thought of as recession proof, you know, are suffering even more than they used to. And ultimately they, you know, they'll end up passing those costs on to consumers. So, you know, what it means for us, I would say, is that we have to keep evolving and adapting. And the only way out of this, you know, this rush towards, you know, unsustainability is through incremental innovation. Innovation not only to lower costs, you know, from these efficiencies that we gain, but also to discover entirely new ways of looking at the problems. You know, we're going to have to make some changes to the way that we, you know, to the way that our system is structured. I mean, unfortunately, our system is structured in a way right now where you've got, you know, you've got three entities. You've got patients and payers like insurance companies, and you've got the providers that deliver care. And you know, in a normal efficient market, the person who's paying for it is also the person that consumes the good and makes the decisions. But in healthcare, it's not the case. You've got these three different entities that only have, you know, one part of the equation. So it makes for a very inefficient market. And you know, we're going to have to use innovation to find a way to, you know, to get beyond that and to solve the nature of those problems. And that's going to require being flexible. I mean, healthcare is complex when compared to other verticals, and new challenges are popping up all the time. And so, you know, our ability, you know, to be nimble and ready to tackle whatever comes our way, whether it's, you know, changes in policy, which often, you know, cause sea changes, you know, like when HIPAA was first introduced or when the, you know, Affordable Care Act came, et cetera, as well as the discoveries that drive, you know, the new best practices for physicians and new patient expectations. So and AI is a great way of maintaining this flexibility.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm most excited about, besides the flexibility, is the speed. Healthcare is not generally known for the speed at which it, you know, transitions or adapts or right. brings on new technology. But we're seeing definitely, sure, there's always going to be the skeptics, but we are seeing some open-mindedness with people seeing how they can do things like get their head around some complex data with the use of AI. Like we have an AI called Arden that, you know, with a simple question, operating leader, a perioperative leader, can understand the inefficiencies in their scheduling and fill them. And that translates to often millions of dollars in new revenue or even margin. And when these not-for-profit healthcare systems are grappling with rising costs and they are on razor-thin margins, you know, something like 4 or 5 million new dollars discovered within their hospital walls that they don't have to do too much to get is really life-changing, both for the hospital and the patients it serves.
Yeah, yeah, great point. Well, one last thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up here is, you know, we have spent most of our time talking about from the operational standpoint, though, you know, it we can't help but touch on how it affects the end patient. But you know, just wanted to ask, you know, a lot of the focus is on operational efficiency and things. How do you balance the need for AI-driven innovation with the need for improving the end patient experience? We've talked about a few ways where they both kind of win in that scenario, but there may be others where it's a little bit more about efficiency than it is about the end patient. You know, what strategies or approaches has Copient Health taken to ensure that technology is both, you know, cutting edge and using all the things at your disposal, as well as, you know, beneficial to that end patient?
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to hear Josh's perspective on this, but I personally don't ever think of it as a trade-off. The reason why is because, you know, our whole healthcare system and the delivery of healthcare has always been predicated on patient autonomy. And so any innovation that we bring up that compromises patient autonomy, you know, won't see the light of day. Yeah. So I don't really see it so much as necessarily a trade-off. But at Copient Health, our direct focus with regard to patient benefit is on access. So we improve the ability for patients to, you know, to access the surgical care they need in a timely manner. But we also have, you know, a meaningful indirect patient benefit that Josh just alluded to in his previous answer, and that is that the financial gains that come from you know, a hospital using its biggest source of revenue more efficiently, those changes impact all other areas of the hospital. And as I mentioned before, the OR funds the mission of the hospital.
That's right. So I would add to that and bring it back to marketing a little bit, but like at least in large markets, we're in Atlanta, there's heavy competition for patients. There's heavy competition to hire surgeons and anesthesiologists and staff. There's staff shortages everywhere. So the ability of a hospital or a healthcare system to be great, truly great at not only their mission, but serving their employees, their surgeons, their community, really aids in that competitiveness between the hospitals, which I think ultimately results in the patients winning because you've got better care at this hospital and this hospital. And when you talk about patient autonomy, a patient does have a choice, at least in a large metropolitan area like Atlanta, I can go to any number of hospitals to get my care. And the competition that these hospitals have almost ensures that wherever I go, I'm going to get great care, and it only raises the bar, which for me as a patient is a benefit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Michael and Josh, thanks so much for joining the show. I've got one last question for each of you before we wrap up here. So, you know, looking ahead, let's say, you know, in 2 years' time, let's say not too far out, but a couple of years' time, are there other areas you want to explore with AI and in healthcare? And or, you know, is it about exploring new areas? Is it about refining and optimizing what you have? You know, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd say is that if you asked me this question a year ago, 2 years in healthcare would have seemed like minimal change would have occurred. But, you know, in the wake of these quantum leaps in AI functionality, I think that a whole heck of a lot can change in 2 years. But for us, it's a combination of both. We plan to continue to improve on our current surgery solution, but to also apply what we've learned in this area to other areas of the hospital that have constrained resources. We think it's a generalized approach that fits well throughout the flow of the hospital. And you know I mentioned earlier about this new ecosystem of tools that lets entities use the LLMs to power their private, to look at their private data. And we really believe that this will change everything. We're just at the infancy of this getting started. I'm not great at predicting the future and I generally don't, but I think there's a good chance that the impact of these tools and, you know, the advent of large language models in general use, the impact on it's going to be roughly in the same order of magnitude as the impact of the internet itself.
Yeah, the first time I heard you say that, I'll be honest, I was skepticism mixed with this realization that because I trust your knowledge, and as we've worked together, I agree 100%. We don't have a crystal ball, but the implications are as far-reaching as the internet, the invention of mobile phones, the things that are ubiquitous in our life now that many people I know and work with don't remember life without them. I'm old enough to remember life without the internet,
right?
But we're quickly getting to a point where the majority of people don't remember life without the internet. I think we're going to be talking about that with AI in all aspects. And I'm excited for the work we're doing on the cutting edge of this. And I am excited about its transformational possibilities with healthcare, because there are a lot of major issues with the US healthcare system that I, as an optimist, am very hopeful that it will solve for the greater good, honestly. And so I'm just really excited about the AI horizon, if you will.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And love the optimistic perspective there and Definitely agree. Well, again, I'd like to thank Michael Burke and Josh Bird from Copient Health for joining the show. You can learn more about Michael and Josh, as well as Copient Health, by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GregKilstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.